Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You learn a lot of new words in seminary. And many of them I have forgotten. Or I have tried to forget. Long words like eschatology and premillennialism, dispensationalism. It's a lot of syllables. But one word that stands out to me that I think of frequently and I really like, and I even use it, not every day because I'm not quite that pretentious, but from time to time, is the word liminal. Can you say liminal?
Liminal.
I knew you could. Sorry, that was my Mr. Rogers impression. Liminal. It's kind of like a threshold. It's where you're in between two spaces. You're not quite in space A anymore, and you're not quite in space B yet. You're in both, but you're neither. The simple example is to walk through a threshold from one room into another. And if you stop and think about it, there is that moment where it's kind of a both and, neither nor situation. You walk from the kitchen to the dining room, and for a split second, you are both in the kitchen and in the dining room, and yet you're not really in either. You understand? What could I be talking about? As her tendency, I think we all understand that. Let's be honest, we have some of that going on with ourselves right now. As a community of faith. In some ways, we are experiencing being in a liminal state of our existence. We are physically here. We are in this room at this time, in this place. And emotionally, many of us also know and are thinking about, where will we be 1 year from this day? And I know this because I hear it from y'all. And believe it or not, I do listen. Do listen, Sarah. Did you hear that? A liminal existence, both and neither nor, at the same time. A couple weeks ago, I had a physical. I have not had one in several years, like three or four. I'm going to say four. Probably means it's been five, let's be honest. And it wasn't because I thought I was too healthy to have one. It's because I was lazy. It was because when we moved out here, I didn't want to take the time to find a new doctor. There's always something else to do. But I finally realized, you know what? I need to do that. I need to be a good steward of my own health. So I did. I went in. Went fine. Nothing. Don't worry. No big announcement I'm going to make or anything like that. But I did discover one thing. A couple of weeks before, about a week beforehand, I had gone swimming with the family. And at one point, Tavin wanted me to dunk under the water with him so I could see how weird and silly he was being under the water. So I did, because, you know, I'm a good dad, or at least a passable one. Wow, no affirmation on that. Thanks, guys. So I did. I plugged my nose, I dunked underwater, and as soon as I did, my ears plugged up. And when I popped out of the water, they stayed plugged. And one of them stayed plugged for the next week. Now, that was actually one of the reasons why I also decided to get that physical, so I could get that checked out. Well, it turned out, and I'll spare you the gory details, let's just say I needed to have my ears cleaned out. But you know what was funny when that was all said and done? I had no idea how many things I had not been hearing for so long. I got home and my first thought was, is there something wrong with the refrigerator? What's that? What's that extra noise it's making right now? Sarah assured me it's always made that noise. I turned on a fan. The bathroom, I was convinced that it was broken. It was so loud. Even back at the doctor's office, when I had first left the examination room and was sitting in the lobby waiting to get some blood work done, I couldn't understand why everybody else in the room was being so loud. And why did they turn up the volume on the music? I don't know how many years, literally, I have spent not really hearing things the way that they were meant to be heard. I don't know what all I was missing. I discovered my kids talk even more than I thought they did. I thought about going back and having my ears plugged back up. I'm kidding, 50%. It's very, not eye-opening, but ear-opening to recognize what I had been missing. And yet, I had a very similar experience in terms of recognizing something I had been missing here just in the last week. We had two funeral services here within the last 10 days or so. We had a service for Frank Mall, and I'm going to butcher Iva's last name.
Chesnes.
I can actually spell it. For Iva Chesnes. And a few of you were at both services, and they were incredibly different. For Frank's service, we were in this room, and we packed this room. We packed it. And you could feel the love, and you could feel the strength and the energy. You could feel God. When the psalmist today speaks about praising God, you could feel it tangibly. And the crazy thing was that a few days later we had this service for Iva, and it was so much smaller. There must have been less than 24 of us there.
16.
14?
She said
16. We'll go with 16. But we didn't meet in this room, we met in the chapel. We did the service in the small chapel over by the offices. And as a result of us deciding to meet in that space, and not in here, it changed everything. Because had the 16 of us met in here, we would have been swallowed up. But in that chapel, it was perfect. You could feel God's presence. You could feel the energy. You could feel, as the psalmist says, the praise of God. It was 1/10, 1/20 as many people as had been here for Frank's service. And yet, personally, it felt just as powerful, but in a different way. And my eyes were open, not my ears. The doctor took care of that. But my eyes were open as to just how big a difference that made. In ways I couldn't quite anticipate. I had known that was the right space to meet. I had no idea what a difference it would make in the feel of that service. Tabit, I need your help. Come here, get up. Come here, walk over, come on. I need your help, come here. Thank you. Do me a favor. Walk down to the end there. Stuff. That's about 14 feet of pew. Come here, kiddo. Come here. Stop. Right there. Thanks. Okay, let go. Come to me. I didn't warn him that I was going to do this. Okay, let go. Come here. That's a good 50 feet of path that I just walked down. Stay right here. Thank you. That's about 20 feet to me behind the altar from the front pew. You can let go, Kevin. You can let go. I have nothing against this place. You can sit down, sweetie. I really hope you know that. I have nothing against this place. I never have and I never will. I love this building. I know I have not been here as long as some of you. I hope you understand that I do love this building. I'm the one who gets to look at the window every week. Unfortunately, the only one of us gets to look at the window every week. But I do. But think about those numbers for a moment. This room is huge. And that's okay. But it's also plugging our ears in ways that we don't notice and that we take for granted. Our ability to praise God, as the psalmist says, it does make it harder in ways that we don't even notice or understand, that we take for granted. We're in a liminal space. We are here, and we are somewhere else, and we are neither at the same time. And I wish I could make that faster for you. I wish I could make it painless. But what I can promise you is this: God is not done with us. God is not done with the ministry of Bethel. We will continue to exist as community and as friends and as family. And I have no doubt in my mind that when all is said and done, we will find ourselves praising God in ways that we never could have imagined, and hearing things that we never knew we were missing. Amen. Let us pray. Most holy, good, and gracious God, you continue to challenge us, continue to move through and amongst us. We ask you to continue to bless us, to help us to feel your presence, and understand the ways in which we may most loyally and dutifully follow you. We give you thanks for opportunity. We give you thanks for compassion and strength. We lift up all of these things, trusting in your holy name.